it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, welcome to this Foot Weekly podcast. I'm your host, Ben, and I'm joined by foot legend, Air Japes. We're going to be continuing our conversation with lead gameplay producer on EAFC 24, Sam Kovalev. As I stated in part one, which I'd recommend people go and listen to before this, as I stated on that podcast, he is a gameplay producer, so focused on that, not things like Ultimate Team. So we'll be talking about things like gameplay meta and frustrations a little bit later. And we're going to start with EAFC 24, though, specifically. There are lots of new mechanics, features, things for people to try. It will be quite overwhelming for the listeners when they pick up the game. So what would you recommend people try first, try and incorporate into the game early?
Oh, wow. I don't know. That's tough because I feel like my main advice would be to don't rush it. Mm. Don't try to use all of them at once because they might be very enticing, interesting to try out. But if you try something quickly and don't have the success with this and try another one with quickly and don't have success and then try the third one and you have a success, let's say, with the precision pass, and you didn't have the success with the effort dribble, it doesn't mean that you know that you will not enjoy effort dribble down the line, because maybe it's quite easy to get super eager to try out everything and then to choose just one thing, because I feel like all of them are working well and they gel together, one with another, play styles included. I agree with you. There's a lot, and I feel like just take your time, start one by one. I would probably recommend take maybe again. You can check the training center. You can check the practice arena. I feel like practice arena, being able to make like a custom scenarios, put like three defenders here. Let's say attacking players up here can create a very friendly environment to practice certain things, like including the precision pass, controlled sprint, effort dribble, like all of that elements. And there's maybe have a quick glance at them, but then spend your time in learning how exactly they work, what's the best ways and situations to use them, and just slowly try to incorporate them in your like global arsenal of tools to try it out. Even like on the floor, it's kind of funny. We playing the game constantly, like every day, and we have like a mini tournaments internally within the production and the gameplay design group. And we also found there is a common kind of theme. You're facing a certain opponent. Let's say I was facing Adrian, he's working on the dribbling. And every time I play against him, he constantly reminds me of how good the effort dribble is. And suddenly I'm like, you know what? Actually, yeah, I keep forgetting about this. Oh, I can do this. And then suddenly for the next couple of games, I'm started to use the effort dribble more because it still kind of builds up this kind of the muscle memory and like tendency to go for certain things. And I'm playing against Danilo and his baby with the precision pass. Like, he's a master of precision pass. Every time I'm seeing some of them, I'm like, wow. Mm. I didn't even knew like that is possible within the game. And because now you're like in full control and like some of those things feel like alive, like the Kevin De Bruyne finding the passes. Because when you see Kevin De Bruyne doing one of those passes, you're like, no, that's impossible. How the ball goes like this, but the ball actually goes like this, and he has like incredible vision. Each time you play, depending on the players, you might be inspired to try certain things out and trying to say like, you know what, I'm seeing like people having success in this situation, and maybe it will really comes with the play styles. Mm. You'll see like, oh, everyone has a success with this particular player, and they have like intercept. So you know what? Oh, I feel like intercept is like really good. I need to try to use it. Again, it might be extremely useful for you in the way you're playing, but it might also be something else might be important. So my advice would be like, take it slow, try one thing or another. There's no need to rush and say like, okay, so I played the game for 2 days. My final verdict is like, precision pass is great, gonna use it. Precision lob is great, gonna use it. Control sprint, I don't know, I tried it, it didn't work for me. I don't know about this. So I feel like all of them has a tremendous potential, and we see actually great results coming on from the close better, from the players, especially who played a little bit more. And there is like differences between like day one and like day 20 on the close bet in the way how people perceive the game. And after they have enough time to try everything, that give a chance to all of the features. Don't rush it. And I'm pretty sure that everyone will find not just one, not just two, but multiple features, play styles that will be particularly happy and excited about in FC24.
Yeah, and we'll certainly be discussing what mechanics to try early on this podcast. So, you know, subscribe. And it's always something we enjoy chatting about in the early game. But Japes, anything you want to ask that leads on from that?
Yeah, you know, when I think about, I guess, the vast amounts of data that you guys must have, and then on the other end, we're just observing and, you know, kind of listening to the community. And I feel like, you know, for last year's game, Accelerate and Lengthy especially really shaped the meta for last year's game. So will Accelerate 2.0 make things feel, I don't know, I suppose a little bit more balanced in a sense?
I think yes. Even like there were several changes throughout the last cycle, helping with the tuning, the explosive, lengthy, and the in conjunction in between them. What Accelerate 2.0 brings us is something that we were unable to do in the past. It creates kind of the more granularity, more steps in between these, so to speak, like acceleration archetypes. So we have the technical freedom and like ability to create like a longer grid and the steps in between. And I think this will make this not only more balanced, but more authentic and more representative of the football as it is. Because yes, we were inspired by the players like Luka Modric, very nimble, quick on the first steps versus strong, tall defenders like Van Dijk, Varane, who can, while chasing back, they have a very powerful long strides and can really accelerate later in the overall, let's say, speed progression. But at the same time, it was just three of them. And because there's so kind of many players, but then there's such a big range of the speeds, they haven't just three created this more of the noticeable difference at once, yes, but it also create maybe a little bit gimmicky, unnecessary, a mini game. Even if, let's be honest, there was a lot of false understanding how the system works. There was lots of videos showing certain things, but that's not the way it works. How they start. Making the videos and compare between the players. But in the end, this creates a more natural progression in between. But it also helps because now it's seven on the grid. coming up from the control to mostly explosives, like fully explosive, that there is more ways with the slight adjustment on the player, which can come from the chemistry styles in Ultimate Team, in particular, from the bonuses and or development plans in career mode, from the like skill tree in clubs, that will change your accelerate type. Because last year, you need like a bigger boost, a bigger change of the attributes in order to change. There was like, in a sense, with limited options. Now, because there's more dots, generally it means like there's a smaller difference in between those when it comes to the math. You can go to the, again, to our deep dive pitch notes, how exactly it's calculated. But there will be more ways to adjust a little bit and go plus one towards like more explosive or plus one going towards like lengthy in a lengthy direction. So it also adds more player agency in the sense of like making choices and adjusting.
Nice. That is a relief to hear, I think, having been, I don't know, a little bit disappointed with how things went with lengthy. But I have to say, in the experiences I had with the game, the spread of those, as you're talking about, but also actually the changes to the restrictions as to which players can actually fit into those categories, and it being harder to reach both extremes, but also those extremes being more extreme, did seem to make a positive difference. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the development of that, because the concept is really good and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the restrictions, like you said, exactly, like the, for example, Mbappe, it was impossible for him to make explosive, he was controlled. But then when you think about him, he's explosive. Like that's him in real life. But because of the having like three distinct places on the grid, even from the, let's say, mathematical point of view and the way how the like formulas, you need to set up with certain rules. And it's just happened that he was outside of the cut. So these seven things definitely helps us to be more authentic and like more fair in the representation of the players.
That's great. And one thing that I did want to move us on to, I guess, is a broader question, I suppose largely about metas, from Soviet Neil. And he says, the number of quote-unquote competitive formations in the game was extremely small, leading to lots of very repetitive slash frustrating games. What have you done to balance formations for EAFC so there is more variety? And similarly, have you tweaked the tactical settings so that direct passing won't be the default choice for the majority of players, as this has become very dull to play against, he says?
This is definitely a great question, but it's also one of the hardest questions to answer, because the whole term meta just represents something that is more popular, it's more used by the players, and often at times there is no equal sign saying that that's actually the most effective way to play, or that's the most advantageous in a sense. And we even like been tracking internally, we constantly monitoring on the usage of different tactics, formation, players using of the mechanics. And we actually have seen that, yes, certainly, there's a certain trend when maybe the higher the competitive level and divisions in Ultimate Team in particular going up, the higher the division, maybe there is less of the spread of the way how the game is played in terms of the set maybe of tactics, usage of certain mechanics in particular. But we also see, surprisingly, that there is a very wide variety of kind of the game plans and the usage of the mechanics. Because at times, the tactics, even if the tactics are identical between two players, their like a football plan and the approach to the game can be completely different. It could be using more of the direct passing, using like a strafe dribble, or there's a small differences in the sense like how you actually will play. So the tactics do not, a lot of times do not define exactly how you play. So let's say if we're talking about the precision pass might completely change your preferred tactics in a way to play, because maybe you want to create this open spaces down the wing. So then maybe you will not use the direct passing and you would prefer it for players to drop and then get in behind. So in the end, that's why the close better is such a great tool for us to have an early feedback from the players, seeing more practical usages, because internally we've seen a success and very enticing choices and combinations of both tactics and new mechanics used and the play styles that then can create a completely different ways of playing the game and having success with the game. So I feel like definitely this combination that will make a meta more, I wouldn't say balanced, because again, I wouldn't necessarily say that that was the most effective way to play, but more diverse in terms of the, I can approach with this, I can approach with the a different tactics, combination of players doing the a combination of different play styles. And I feel like that's why it will be even more important to, like, you know, before the match, to see the opponents, what type of players they are using. You immediately recognize, okay, so this play style plus, okay, I kind of understand the way how they're going to play. And that will create more and more like viable choices, even competitively speaking. And it can make the games more and more kind of fun, because it will be different from one game to another and dependent on the opponents. But then regardless of what you do in any game, surely something will be more popular than the others on the meta. If you change from one thing to another, like, it's just something else will stand up. So it's just a natural evolution of the game being competitive, especially at the higher division. I can totally say, like, the if you are in the like on the mid level, let's say, still it's a very good level, because even like division 5 and 4, you need to understand, like, it's a, you need to know the game, enjoy it, and utilize lots of mechanics within the game. On the level 5, even we can see it from the telemetry point of view and the data analysis, there's a super versatile combination of playstyles, tactics, usage of mechanics. It becomes more narrow the higher the division, but even there, people have success with different approaches. So with the playstyles, I'm definitely seeing this being more creative in a sense than ever before.
Yeah, I do agree with what you're saying, that it's going to be, I think, more diverse the way people play in 24 compared to last year. But are you saying that, because I feel like a lot of listeners will be saying, what do you mean? Like, there's not a variety. I played 15 of my 20 matches against 5-4-1 in last year's game. Are you saying that that isn't the case? Or are you just saying that actually people could have been more effective with other tactics? They just tend to sort of follow the crowd. Because it felt like with the 5-4-1, there were actually specific things which made that so strong, which didn't necessarily get patched, which was that you could basically defend with 10 players in a way that wasn't possible with any other formation. So I guess what listeners are probably asking is, can we hold you to the fact that if there are certain tactics which really do have specific things which make them way stronger than others, that you're going to be in there patching it, I guess?
We definitely, when it comes to positioning, and there's a several like notes mentioned also in our gameplay deep dive, not everything, there is lots and lots of the positioning changes this year. We took both for the, when it comes to the way how defenders work, zonal defense, the way how the pressure is applied on the players, on the attacking, maybe some of the new attacking runs, and the player is trying to get the open space. So we never stop improving the each area of the game, positioning including, because it's such core to the overall holistic feel of the game. Sometimes it's just those changes are more hidden in the sense it's not surface like an on-demand mechanic or if press of the button, something happened. But we constantly look at the tactics and the way how they're used. And it's something we see is actually given more advantage. We're looking into this and improving the way the AI behaves, the way positioning works for the players on the pitch. And there's lots of like small changes. If you're gonna play, even like in the past with the certain formation that maybe were used more often, the formation might be used, but then as I was saying, the way how the players work might be still be completely different. In a sense, we're looking into this. We're constantly monitoring, and we definitely put the objectives for us to create a more viable choices when it comes to approach onto this one. And we also hope that it will come with the formations as well. But in the end, it's a combination of the things. So if you have like three things at the same time, the permutations, like formations, play styles, players used, mechanics used, that creates a different experience and behavior for the players. And I feel like in the end, it's quite diverse. But I hear the feedback. We know about this, and we definitely will look into to make sure that the things that we have in the game, players are using them, maybe not to the same degree as the others, but they are using it and they're having success with them.
Yeah, and here's a final, maybe more philosophical point about gameplay frustrations. And we could probably do a whole podcast on this. There are big improvements, I think, behind the scenes that we haven't actually talked about, things like changing the way that player switching works, or changing, I guess, the sensitivity of player switching, some of the settings around that, which are going to help people with those frustrations. But I get the sense, and you know, there are always improvements that can be made, but that there'll always be frustrations about gameplay, just because naturally you have a game here which tries to mimic real football, which is somewhat random, can end up with odd situations occurring, and that's partly why we love the game. But also in EAFC, as it always has been in past games, you will really only be able to control one player on the pitch, and 10 of those players are controlled by the AI, and it's the same for your opponent as well. So do you think that these frustrations are kind of always going to be there? And what do you see as the steps to solving those frustrations? Because I think looking at what's coming and having played the game, hopefully precision passing, and actually something which came in previously, like player lock, they're going to help to make people feel like they have more control, I guess. I'm not sure what's there defensively, but certainly I guess those player switching changes will help. But what do you see as the things you can do to solve those frustrations, or to improve the game for the people who maybe do get frustrated by it at times?
To answer this question, in a simple way, we'll look at everything. And which means like we're constantly monitoring our community feedback to raise up frustrations towards the development team. But the development team also plays the games a lot. And we also feel and know about the frustrations that happening within the game. And in a way, it's a natural byproduct of us being passionate, like you mentioned, being this as a sports game, that sometimes you're not in the absolute full control of everything. It's not like a turn base that they can pause at any moment and change the everyone's and micromanage where they go, what they will do. In a sense, like it's also about creating like a fun experience, which happening fast. You play, like recreate like the sports and the atmosphere, the feel of the competitive games. I feel like that's why the sports are so popular as a kind of activity to watch, as activity to play, because it is a game and it is a little bit unpredictable, in the sense there is a certain like element of chaos, but at the same time there is definitely a skill, there is like fun involved. So all of that is just what makes game, and in this case, game as a global term. So when it comes to frustration points, we always look at very specific points of frustration, trying to narrow them down and say, like, you know what? Let's exactly fix this and like try to do this. So we always, like, each year while we're focusing on the big features and the new mechanics, we also look at the specific, like, a smaller frustration points and trying to improve those situations. And similar to, like, we discussed earlier today, some of them can become under the radar. For example, one of them, improvements you've seen, like, on the defensive side, there was a change we did this year where, you know, if the attacking players is, like, rushing with the ball and, like, creates, like, a big, maybe a little bit heavy touch or mini knock on, like, going in forward, and your defender just suddenly gets the ball. You were not expecting this. Your defender starts to trap and get control of the ball. At the times in the past, a player would trap the ball and the attacking player would just bump into you and get the ball back. Mm. Super frustrating because, wait a second, technically, I did everything right for the defender. It's just something accidentally I needed to trap, and I trap it right in front of me, and then the attacker bump into me, and it's and then the physics starts to play in, and sometimes it would result in a very clean outcome, but sometimes it would result that the attacking player will get the ball back. So one of the changes we add this year is on the, when the defender in those situations would drop the ball, they will be able to, when they trap in, to kick the ball a little bit to the left or to the right to avoid the attacking player to get the ball back right away, or actually to get in the, like, running lane exactly back at the ball, you know, to create this, like, suddenly 50-50 situation. So to reward the defender, because you as a defender, like, even positioning on the defending side is really hard to do. So those kind of the small moments, and, like, it was a frustration. And, like, for example, the tackle backs in general is a topic that, and you see, I'm not even afraid to say a tackle back, because we know this, we're aware of this as a frustration point, because sometimes it's also, defending is hard. It's, you're always kind of the second, trying to understand what the attacking player is doing. And we constantly look at these certain cases, continually fixing and improving those frustration points. If I would come, let's say, more prepared for the podcast, if you are, I knew exactly, like, this question, I could, like, easily make, like, a 50 on the spot, those frustration moments that you'll see, like, yeah, we will work on that. Even, like, I remember, like, last year we did, you know, like, when you do the corner kick, you pass, and then you pass back, and your player is offside.
Yeah, the player
who was taking the corner kicker, and was like, "What? So frustrating!" All this stuff. So now the corner kick taker, it was even planted there last year already. Like, he does the pass and runs back to stay on site, so then you can take the pass back. It's a smaller frustration point, but it actually helps a lot. So these frustration points, the small ones, is it's actually like a bread and butter. And we work a lot on them, because this is actually our kind of the day-to-day, in a sense that we're working on the new mechanics and obviously new tuning, balancing, because of all the ecosystem changing, in a sense. There was lots of work involved with play styles, maybe bug fixing related to the new features, but it also working exactly on these kind of the frustration points. Mm. Small things, which is, it's a, in a sense, it is a bug, but it's also sometimes just a frustration point that why I cannot do this. Even the precision pass at times was created also to address some of the feedback that we had, like, here, I want the ball here. Obviously I want it here, but there's no way for me to put it up here because I want the ball in exactly this spot. So it's kind of leading, but it's leading a little bit more because I'm thinking about not just where my player is, but also where the defender is. Mm. I want the ball exactly here. And like me not being able to do this, because you feel like that's just smart. It's just the way how you see football is played. And you're saying like, I want this. Like I'm getting frustrated that the game doesn't understand what I want to do. But it's hard for the game to predict what exactly you want to do, because in the exactly same situation, you will show the video to four different people and say like, oh, I want the ball here. I want the ball here. I want the ball here. Like there will be like four different answers.
Yep.
So like precision pass is like helping with these frustration points and like, you know what? Now I can point a little bit to the right. I can like change the pace and the control of the when my teammate is working, but because like you said, you control in at a specific moment of one player, so that the precision pass is able to influence your teammate towards like where the pass will go and how to shift the dynamic of the attack and transposition. So I feel like the frustration points, in a sense, represent a huge amount of our work, because we feel them. Mm. We feel them day and day. We play, and obviously, some of the frustration points are easier to solve. Some of them are harder to solve, but we never stop working on them, and we are very honest within ourselves. There's many more things we want to improve, and we will continue to improve year on year. And it's not only coming with just making like new features or new mechanics, because what's the point of making a new mechanic if you cannot make the fix the frustration point? Mm. Similar ways, like think about the control sprint. Control sprint is such a great addition that make it simple. And it fixed the frustration point of like, oh, I want to be like Messi. Yeah. I'm kind of fast on the ball, but still the ball is kind of needs to be close to me, because we know like many people love to be nimble on the ball, still have the control, getting it still close, because if it's close to you, it means it's responsive. It means you can quickly make decisions at any time, because anything can change in a blink of the eye. And surely we had the analog sprint in the past, but it was more harder to control. But it's basically every time you're either running or then you just stop because, yeah, I need the ball close to me. Otherwise, there's too high of a chance for me to have like a heavy touch and the ball goes right away. So there was always like, I'm running. Okay, now I'm not running. Now I need to stop. So it's like kind of forcing you in a certain way. And it was creating the both combination of a frustration point and an opportunity. Mm. We actually have a design space to create like in between speed, but also keep the ball close, because there's lots of frustration points. It was like, yeah, I am fast, but why when I'm semi-fast, why the ball is always like so far away from my player? Like, I still want to feel in control, nimble, agile, fast with the ball. Because sometimes fast with the ball doesn't mean like a speed. It's more about how quickly I lead the cadence of the touches. So all of them are coming up from the frustration points and the like design opportunities.
Yeah, so that's really good to hear. And it sounds like you've committed to a podcast where we go through 50 frustrations. So I'm looking forward to that one. Talking of, we've probably taken up enough of your time, and we greatly appreciate it. It's been really interesting to hear all your thoughts on what's coming to EA FC and, I guess, more general questions about the game. So, Sam Kovalev, lead gameplay producer, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you for having me. You just can call me Sam K. Everyone calls me Sam K because we have, to be honest, we have too many Sams on our team. Not on our team, like, but NFC in general. Yeah. But great to be part of this. We definitely could make like micro fixes we did, because none of them are like big marketable things. But when you're playing, like, you're like, oh, you know what? That's actually super helpful that now this is happening, because it was happened to me a lot of times. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think, yeah, these little things do go under the radar. I like the corner one. It's a good point, actually, that you made. So yeah, thank you very much, Sam. And I guess we will look forward to hearing the listeners' thoughts when they get their hands on the game. Very much looking forward to that. And finally, of course, thank you very much to Japes as well for joining us on this podcast, asking some interesting questions. Always good to have you on these podcasts.
Pleasure, Ben. Very much enjoyed it. More to come.
Yeah. Very well put, because there is more to come from the Foot Weekly podcast. You can catch the pod via the various different podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, really wherever you get your podcasts from. And also on YouTube. If you are catching this on YouTube, then leave a like, drop a comment. It definitely does help out. And if you'd like more from the Foot Weekly podcast, then you could become a supporter and get double the podcast content every single week, a whole extra episode. It's just £3 a month, and it's quick and easy to sign up. Just search Support Foot Weekly or follow the link in the description of this podcast. If you are already supporting, a huge thank you for keeping the podcast going, and a big thank you too to those Icon patrons. Dave B, Hugh J, Coach Vass, DJ FIFA Player, Alan G, Alistair, Anthony R, Dominic P, Rob P, Jeff B, Stephen F, Tom B, Damon H, David S, Nick Jack M, Eric T, Neil P, Adam G, Kirky87, Dan W, Waterman, N Hagman, Harry A, Jake G, Roger D, Springford, Elec, Bracco, Nishant, Harry P, Alex M, Lee A, Brendan W, Andrew C, Joe W, Timothy J, Dylan, Jay Kell, Ibis24, Adam R, Sam K, Graham W, Andy, Ads H2K, and Brian V. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.